This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. There's some old advice often given to college students on how to make good grades. Study. Cracking open the textbook and spending time in the library haven't gone out of favor. It's just that getting good grades is a bit more nuanced, a bit more complicated than that. Lynn F. Jacobs is an associate professor of art history at the University of Arkansas. She's taught at Vanderbilt, Cal State, and NYU, among other schools. Jeremy Hyman is manager of Professor's Guides Projects. He's taught at the University of Arkansas, MIT, UCLA, and Princeton. Together, they've created the book Professor's Guide to Getting Good Grades in College, published by Collins. That's a division of HarperCollins. Lynn and Jeremy join me in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Has there been a practical guide given to that you could give to an incoming freshman before?
There are many books for college, a lot of books for people coming in, a lot of books for people going out. There are books how to take SAT tests, there are books how to get jobs and interview well on the other end, but there really is no book which shows students in college how to get good grades. This one has the added bonus of being written by professors. They're the ones who know.
Lynn, you're a professor of art. Have you noticed with students that they're not really prepared for a college classroom?
Absolutely. I think we find all the time, and I see all the time, students who really don't know how to write. They really don't know how to take notes. They really don't know how to prepare well for exams. And professors have so many things to do. They're really busy just covering the material they need to teach. And they don't have a lot of time to give this kind of background training to students when they come in. And so if I knew of any other stuff that I could give to students, I would have definitely given it to them. But there really isn't anything, so we just had to write it ourselves.
The book begins with 10 common myths. And one that you just mentioned that I think students tend to think that professors show up for 50 minutes, teach, and then do nothing else. So that's one of the myths they don't understand. What are some of the other myths that you list in the book?
I think the two most interesting myths is firstly the myth that effort counts. A lot of students in high school are used to being rewarded, given extra credit, basically a function of how hard they worked. In college, it's really the product that counts. A professor might have 60, 70 papers in a stack, and he or she tries to evaluate each one, not based on how much effort or how much work went in, but just the quality of the product, considered as an answer to the question posed, is this a good answer or a fair answer or a not-so-good answer? Another myth, though, is the myth that attendance counts. A lot of students come in and they say, having gotten a not-such-good grade, say, well, you know, professor, I made all the classes. I did all the homework. I wrote all the papers. I filled the page limits. And yet the result isn't so good. So again, it's a question of creating a good product. And one of the things we probe in the book are different tips and methods and techniques students can use to, for example, construct a good paper or ace an exam.
Certainly you're not advocating that, you know, attendance doesn't make you a better student, though. I mean, you attend the class, you're going to be better off if you hadn't attended, right?
Attendance works indirectly. For example, if a professor has probed a certain subject matter, a certain topic, a certain issue, and you get a question on an exam or a paper topic, you will have started your inquiry or your investigation of that subject. But there are other things in the book that we focus on as well. For example, going to see the professor during an office hour. Students don't realize, but professors and teaching assistants would like to see the students succeed. They would like to give them an A because when a student gets a B or a C, especially if there are a lot of students getting Bs and Cs, the professor sees this as a failure. He or she didn't teach very well. So the lecture might be the beginning of an inquiry. But there are other resources in the office now. Also work students do on his or her own. For example, if it's a research paper using the internet, it's one of the things we talk about. But of course, if you miss the lecture where the topic is broached, you often find yourself really behind the eight ball.
We're definitely very big on having students attend, and we talk a lot in the book about the importance of attendance. But where the myth comes in is the idea of a student who doesn't do well on a test and comes to you and says, but I attended every class, and the idea that some students have is just by being there, that somehow that should net them a good grade. And the being there is a way that they're going to master the material, and it's an important way they're going to master the material. But just showing up and sitting there, if you don't learn the material, just isn't going to do it.
Is there a hesitancy to even talk to a professor, unless, you know, it's late in the semester and suddenly you found out that you're not getting a passing grade and you kind of make a plea. But early in the semester, is there maybe for some, especially new students in college, an intimidation to go talk to the professor?
Absolutely. I think a lot of students are pretty scared to see the professor. And even if the professor says, come see me, they're still scared. And I've had students that I've particularly invited say, come in and talk to me. They've come to me and said, I'm nervous about my paper or I need help with my paper. Say, come in and talk to me. And they still don't come in. And I think there's a lot of intimidation and a lot of feeling that maybe the professor doesn't want to see them. But that's another myth. A lot of professors are just sitting around in their office during their office hours, which they're required to hold. And you know, they're on the internet. They're, you know, I'm doing my email or whatever. And I'd be happy to see students. And especially, I think, we'd be especially happy to see students before trouble hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times that when we see the students is when it's too late.
I can add something autobiographical. When I was an undergraduate at the University of Michigan, we would get syllabuses and they would say office hours Tuesday, Thursday, 2 to 4 in Angel Hall or in Haven Hall. And though I knew the office hours existed, I basically thought they were for students who were having trouble in the course. I thought that if you weren't getting a C or a D, you had really no business taking up the professor or the teaching assistant's time. In fact, though, you know, the more aggressive, better students would regularly, even then, make use of the office hours. I think it's a resource that's quite important. The other thing, by the way, is that other times and during the semester, the professor is out of the cage, by which I mean, for example, they have review sessions or review meetings or study groups. Sometimes they have events at their house in advance of a test or a paper. And these are times when the professor typically has abandoned the role of information parcel outer, if there were such a word, and where you can have a much more balanced kind of mutual exploration of a topic. This is really, I think, one of the most underutilized resources, when the professor is available for one-on-one or one-on-group work sessions, but that the dynamic is really shifted.
In the book, there are ideas on how to take better notes, how to pick a research topic. I mean, there's a lot of practical information in here. How did you decide what an incoming freshman should know?
Well, a lot of it was what our experience with students and things that students didn't know. I mean, I would have students who would come to me. I teach for a long time. I taught a very large core art history course called the Art Lecture, and I saw in the beginning there were 500 students in that class. It's now down to about 200. I taught it every semester, so I taught thousands and thousands of students. And I would have students come to me, and I would see the kinds of problems they were having. With notes, for example, I'd have students come in and say, why did I do badly in the test? I studied my notes really carefully. And I would say, well, let me see your notes. And there were six lines of notes for each lecture, six sentences. That was all there was. And I knew I was coming in there with eight pages of my notes, and they were getting out maybe eight lines. And I said, of course you didn't do well on the test. You studied about 1% of what there was on the test. So we would just see these situations. We would see these problems. And based on many years of teaching, we would see areas where students were going wrong, and we would just watch these patterns develop over and over again, especially with incoming students. I think, developed a pretty good sense of the kinds of things that freshman students need to know when they come in.
You know, there's an attitude that maybe it's, oh, I don't know, somewhat gauche to be going for the better grade, that you should just, you know, work hard, take what you got.
Yeah, that's one of the myths that we talk about. And it's a very interesting phenomenon in colleges that students who want to do well actually, so a lot of times, feel embarrassed about that. And students will come in and they'll sometimes very ashamedly admit that they'd like to get a good grade. And we think that's kind of strange. There aren't that many other lines of work or business where you have to be embarrassed about wanting to do well. I mean, if you're in the business world, I don't think very many people are embarrassed to say how many sales they made or how much profit they brought in. But in colleges, there has developed this idea that there's something just not right about caring about grades. We really feel that it's fine to care about grades, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it because grades are a measure of learning. So some people think, well, you know, you shouldn't be in it just for the grades. But we believe that in well-constructed courses, the grades really reflect that you learned well. And so there's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed about. And the desire to do well, we think, is a very positive thing.